27 minutes after the hour, and it's a transcendent Tuesday. That means that Dr. Don Clark joins us from Garden Valley, Texas. Don is a vintner, a biochemist by trade, with lots of time in pharmaceuticals, which will serve him well during today's discussion. And David Allenpont is up there in East Dakota, too. He's part of our discussion. Don is a member of the board of Creation Moments. I want you to know that. And we're going to launch. He's a scientist, basically. He's here for his scientific perspective on things. And we need him on this one. We've been through 2 years of talking about mRNA vaccines, especially with respect to COVID and mandatory shots and lockdowns and this whole pandemic thing. But it turns out that mRNA vaccines have been around for longer than that. And I've got to ask you about this, Don. Apparently, they've been using it in pork for a long time. I'm thinking back through various previous eras where science has deluged us with something, whether it was good or not. Things like thalidomide, fluoride in the water, chlorine in the water. And I'm not dissing all this stuff. I'm just saying that we get a lot of science poured into us, and nobody tells us about it. Should we be alert to this particular, is this a threat, mRNA vaccine in pork?
Well, that's a good question, is it? And unfortunately, we don't know. Just like a lot of those other things that you mentioned, you know, science doesn't necessarily tell us what the ultimate outcome is going to be, whether it's deformities in babies or whatever it might happen to be. And we've got another issue, you know, on the horizon here. When they developed the mRNA and they started using them in animals, in particular, they are now using them and have been since 2018 in pigs. Merck is the primary company here that is developing this along with Moderna. Merck bought another pharmaceutical company that was doing this type of vaccine with RNA, mRNA type of vaccine.
We should explain what makes it different from traditional vaccines. mRNA, the RNA related to DNA, I presume.
Well, mRNA refers to messenger RNA. So you have, obviously, in eukaryotic cells, it's cells that make up animals, for the most part. Bacteria, prokaryotic cells, don't have a nucleus where the DNA resides. But eukaryotic cells have a nucleus. And so you can look under a microscope and easily see the nucleus of a cell. Can't necessarily see all the parts of a cell, but you can certainly see the nucleus of the cell. And in the nucleus is our DNA. And so in order to produce proteins, we've got to get the information that is in the DNA, and in particular, a particular gene that needs to be expressed. And there's all kinds of feedback mechanisms to say turn on and turn off various genes, and that message makes its way into the nucleus where it's on and it's on the right gene. Uncoil it, because it's tremendously coiled up in there. There's, of course, the double-stranded helix that we've learned from Watson and Crick, their studies. They said, oh, this is how the DNA folds, but there's superstructure on top of that. So all of that needs to be unfolded for a particular gene. And then you've got to expose one side of the DNA, and that then gets copied, not as a section of DNA, which is deoxyribose nucleic acid, but RNA, ribose nucleic acid. And the RNA then becomes a messenger, and it gets transported out of the nucleus. And it is then used as the template, if you will, for making the proteins that the cell says, hey, make this type of protein, whether it's a structural protein or a particular enzyme. And so the cell gets busy in the ribosomes making the proteins. And then the proteins get carried off into different barrel type of proteins, which fold them in the right configuration. So all of this takes place in the cell, and it's the messenger RNA then that codes with proteins. So what these companies have done for years and is say, hey, we can use this if we fool the cell to produce a protein that might be, let's say, a protein coat for a virus. And that's exactly what they did with the COVID vaccines. And so they produce, in that particular case, they took the sequence of the spike protein, which happened to be the most dangerous part of the virus, but it encoded it into the messenger RNA, then had liposome nanoparticles that they put this RNA inside of to get it inside the cell. Undamaged, and then the cell would be tricked to say, oh, here's some messenger RNA, so therefore we need to start making the protein for this messenger RNA, and of course, then your cells start making the spike protein inside the cells. And it makes so much of it that the cells burst, and then that gets distributed throughout our bodies.
So this is a protein that would, this is a protein that would not occur naturally. In other words, it's an artificial, it's an imitation of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
It's not a protein that naturally occurs in the cell or in the body, and so the body says, this is a foreign protein, we got to do something about it. And that's where your immune system kicks in and says, okay, we got to make antibodies towards this foreign protein. And so by making antibodies to the foreign protein, the thought is, well, we'll make antibodies against the virus. And so we'll protect people against certain viruses by being able to dial in which proteins the body is making. And so the whole idea then, the old process for making vaccines was to denature or basically kill the virus, not that viruses are alive, but break down the virus into various particles, inject that mixture into people or into animals. The animals would see that, oh, we got some foreign material we need to take care of, and then build the antibodies towards that foreign material. So the difference then is, instead of actually putting the protein in people's arm or in the bloodstream of an animal, for example, they are now putting this messenger RNA, which then codes for the protein, and hence the advantage of doing this: one, you don't have to incubate a lot of live viruses and then isolate and denature them in order to produce your vaccine. You just go to your lab and synthesize a lot of messenger RNA, which we've got, you know, machines now to do this, specifically to make DNA and RNA, and we just dial it in, which RNA we want to make, which protein we want the body to make, and then inject that. So, in essence, for those in the lab making vaccines, it's a lot safer because you're not dealing with live viruses. But at the same time, for the host, that is you and I, or anybody who takes these type of vaccines, now you've got foreign messenger RNA in your cells, and your cells then are making this foreign protein, and we don't really have good control as to how much your body is making, how long this messenger RNA stays around. And in the case of COVID, for example, they even put in a synthetic cytosine, for example, a pseudo-cytosine instead of the real cytosine, because they didn't want the molecule to be broken down by the enzymes in your body, in your cells. So we'll stick in a foreign base, if you will, in the RNA structure, and that way it'll last a lot longer, and you can make, you know, this foreign protein maybe for life, we don't know, but at any rate, you've now got this foreign messenger RNA hanging around for a long time. Now, what is a long time? Studies have been done, and one study said, well, we're finding it 15 days after injection. Another study says, well, we're finding it 30 days. And another study said, no, we're finding it 60 days out in counting in the lymph nodes of people that have been injected with this messenger RNA, this foreign messenger RNA. And so this stuff, you know, can hang around for a long time. Other studies, at least with we have more information now on the COVID vaccine, says that they originally said, "Oh, this stuff is not going to get into your nucleus, and it's not going to incorporate into your own DNA." I mean, that's a silly thing. Why would you ever think that? And indeed, the studies have found that it does get incorporated into your DNA. So now we have not only manipulated your cells to fool them to make a foreign protein, but now you may make that foreign protein forever in your body.
In other words, you could regenerate the disease that your immune system then has to turn on and fight. You can do that over and over and over and over.
Now, Don, I've recently heard or read articles that suggest that there's some way to cleanse your body of spike protein and mRNA. Is that wishful thinking, or is that fake news, or
you mean to undo what the vaccine has done, huh?
Somebody snapping their fingers and chasing the alligators away? I mean, is that something that could be?
Well, I mean, it's yes. There are things that you can take, and for example, pine needle tea will suppress and clean out the spike protein.
Really?
The problem with, I mean, yes, you take pine needles, you make tea out of it, and then you drink that, and it will help purge your system of these spike proteins.
Hmm.
The problem is you haven't gotten rid of the messenger RNA, and if that's in your cells, and if it especially has gotten incorporated into your DNA, you're not getting rid of it. No. And so you're going to be that could be a lifelong thing. We don't know yet. We know is that people continue to die from unknown, I mean, they know the cause, but and a lot of these things are due to the vaccinations that they got with these messenger RNA.
Okay, that brings up another question, and this is how it relates to food now, because apparently they've been injecting mRNA vaccines into piglets since, you know, for the last 5 years to prevent certain diseases. I mean, the motivation was good. If we've gotten a COVID shot, it's come in by injection. If we then eat pork that has been introduced to mRNA, is that the same effect as getting the vaccine? Does it affect our bodies because the pigs had mRNA vaccine administered? When you chew it up, you cook it, you ingest it, is that still a problem?
Yes. Well, that's it. Who knows?
Oh.
The safety studies have not been done.
And
did. Oh, yes. Well, unfortunately, the data is not out there yet to know what the long-term effects of this is going to be.
It sounds like, now, once again, we are the clinical study, the people in general.
We're the clinical study, yes. And the FDA, our famous FDA now, a long time ago has said, oh, you can use this technology in animals. And not only do you not have to do any type, in this case, it would be on the animal, of the target animal, but any clinical studies, animal studies, but you can just change the messenger RNA. You keep your same delivery platform, that is the liposomes with the graphene and all this other stuff that's in it, that's also harmful, by the way. And you just change the messenger RNA and just submit it to us, and we don't even need to approve it because we've approved the overall system, so you don't have to. We don't have to approve the new messenger RNA that you're creating. And this is extremely dangerous for a number of reasons, because not all proteins that your body, or the, in this case, the pigs, produce are going to be harmless. And secondly, it gives carte blanche to the pharmaceutical companies and the ag companies to make whatever they want against any type of bug that they want, any type of virus that they want, for example, and just get it on the market. The technology is so good now that they can identify a pathogen, they can do the protein sequencing of the surface proteins of these viruses, and create a messenger RNA, synthesize a messenger RNA that codes for that protein and stick it in their system within 8 weeks.
We
say that's fantastic, because, any pathogen that comes along, any new pathogen, we've got a new technology that will attack the pathogen so we can feel safe. The problem is that you don't know, because you don't know what the side effects are going to be, because no animal studies, no human studies are going to be required in order to get the stuff out on the market. Now, with the pigs, of course, they've been doing this since 2018, and at least the sequenviti, I guess, is the... is the name of the product that Merck partnered with Moderna to make this messenger RNA that they give to swine, to pigs. And, we don't know what the ultimate side effects are going to be. We don't know that. So you've been eating, if you've had pork, the chances are that pork is tainted with this technology.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that do to the meat? Well, most of us don't eat raw pork, but we're eating cooked pork. And does either the protein that this thing, makes, or is the messenger RNA, since it is this foreign synthetic messenger RNA, is it going to break down, during heating?
Well, the point of eating meat is to obtain protein for your body. So I imagine any protein would qualify, could just walk in an open door.
And, it's hard. It's hard to imagine, and I'm sure the scientists are probably saying this, it's hard to imagine that, if you eat a piece of pork meat, for example, any of the proteins are going to survive. But, half the people in the United States walk around with leaky gut syndrome because of all the stuff that is in our food supply now. And so what leaky gut syndrome does for you, it pokes holes in your gut, which means now you're getting whole proteins as well as all kinds of other, toxins that should have been broken down into your bloodstream. And you're having all kinds of inflammatory reactions to that. And, you're tired, and you've got inflammation going on, and you don't know why, and it's because your gut has holes in it. And so, you know, with a person like that, I can easily see that the foreign protein and perhaps even the messenger RNA leaking into your system, and now you've been vaccinated as well against this particular, you know, virus that the vaccine was designed to kill in the first place. But that virus doesn't affect you because you're not a pig, or you're not a cow, or you're not a chicken, or, you know, whatever, name the animal that you know, you want to produce for food. And this technology is the potential to run rapid, and I'm afraid this that we will find out years from now that this really wasn't a good thing to do. And
it's now being expanded to include chicken and beef. Although they say that the individual ranch owner, for example, has to agree to allow it into his herds. But still, the idea of competition and how it affects the cost of the product and so forth would tend to encourage, yes, use this stuff so you don't lose cattle. Now, I don't know how this relates to GMO crops and food, but I do know that after decades of being consumed, Europe has decided that GMO crops are dangerous and has outlawed them. Now, some of the farmers who have to grow food to feed their population, especially in other areas of the world, poor areas like Africa, can't get GMO seed, and so they can't make a living anymore. There's all kinds of economic consequences to this, but Europe apparently has ruled that we need to protect people, protect their bodies against GMO, genetically modified organism food, corn and wheat and all those other things. Is the effect similar with mRNA vaccine in meat?
Well, we don't know. I mean, one of the problems with the GMO is that it depends on what genetic modification they made to the plant. You know, in this case, corn or wheat or what the other grains. And one of the modifications, of course, would be to be resistant to Roundup. Glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup, and therefore you don't know if it's the genetic modification that is causing people problems like leaky gut. We know that's been associated with genetically modified foods, for example, or if it's the glyphosate residual that is in the food because they spray, for example, wheat and canola right before they harvest in order to make everything dry out. They spray the fields with glyphosate, and so you're assured that the grain and or the oil that is produced from that seed will contain glyphosate. And so now you know, we've got all these lawsuits against Monsanto, for example, that is, you know, saying that it's causing cancer in people and various things. So, you know, time is going to be the ultimate trial here. Unfortunately, people are going to be the guinea pigs. And, you know, even with the animals, we know now that the messenger the RNA technology, the mRNA technology for COVID, is wreaking havoc to people's immune system because it becomes super sensitive, hypersensitized, for example, your immune system. And then your immune system starts attacking everything, and we're getting we know about the heart inflammation that is caused from the COVID vaccine, but many other things, including there was a report, a new study out today talking about women having their kids, I mean, their babies aborted because they've had the vaccine and the body's attacking the fetus in their womb. My. So, you know, these are far-reaching, you know, consequences of not doing the proper clinical studies in the first place with this technology. And now, you know, the FDA, for example, like with the animal vaccines, like with the swine vaccines, is now saying to the pharmaceutical companies, to Moderna and Pfizer and others, that, hey, you can just change the messenger RNA and we'll get, you know, we'll give you fast approval because we know that the delivery system is safe. And that's not the case at all. I mean, by normal vaccine, you know, clinical studies, this stuff should be off the market, should have been off the market within, you know, 60 days after it was introduced because of the number of adverse events.
Well,
that
this,
were,
this sounds so much like not science, but politics. And the main effect of the FDA taking that position is the enrichment of pharmaceutical industry members. I mean, they can make anything they want, sell it, put it on the market without testing.
Yep.
Well, disturbing news. A couple of articles. I'll put links to them in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com if you want to follow up on this. But it is disturbing. And now from pork, it's going to chicken and to beef. FDA, CDC, NIH, WA, all those three-letter organizations are falling down on the job, apparently.
David? We have lots of new things to be concerned about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In addition to leaky gut syndrome.
I think I'm just going to stop eating. Stop eating.
I'm going to stop eating and just go find an ice floe and float off into the river.
Yeah. I want to mention that Dr. Darling.
We're going to have to... We're going to have to grow our own foods.
We've talked about that, a whole change in lifestyle, get rid of feedlots, start raising crops in your front yard and your backyard, and just look out for yourself. That's what it boils down to. It's kind of going back to an earlier time, which wasn't as bad as they say, apparently. Don is a member of the board of Creation Moments. Their website, creationmoments.com, and there is a whole library of stuff for you there. Written material, recorded material, streaming material that supports the biblical story of creation. And even in the Bible, we're told how to farm. That might be a good pattern. Sabbath years to your crops, and just pay attention to what's written there, and you get a head start on living a longer, happier life for lots of reasons. Don, thanks so much. Appreciate the information you bring, and thanks a lot for scaring the bejeebers out of us once again.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Yes, indeed. Anytime.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes. We were getting a little complacent here.